It's time to spark it up with the kennel linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Long-awaited Fourier review with Sasha Knox has finally come back, along with a story about weed tampons. Jim McMahon says that he cured his addiction to pills with marijuana. And Native American Church in Oregon sues the Postal Service over some stolen ceremonial weed. Here on the Cannalinguist with your host, Alex Mandelberg, sitting me, the redheaded, awesomely stoned April O'Connor, and our guest today giving us our review we've been waiting so long for, Sasha Knox. Yeah! Fuck yeah! Fucking crowd goes crazy. How you doing? Nice to have you back.
I'm doing very good, thank you.
You're doing very good. Doing good. Get nice and super stoned.
Super stoned.
Super stoned. Just getting the stoniness on.
Stone
baloney. You're a different kind of stone because you tried that spagyric stuff earlier. Yeah, she tried the spagyric earlier. It's out in the living room.
I brought it in.
Of course you did because you love that stuff so much.
It's the hippie magic.
You and your hippie. I didn't sell it to her as hippie stuff. I just sold it as really awesome get you high stuff.
Oh, but, cool. Yeah. It's nice though, right? It's like, well, euphoric.
I was very high before it was placed into my mouth hole, and then I had like two beers real fast, and I haven't really eaten anything today, so it was super groovy. Oh, but yeah. I think I needed to try it on a cleaner to get the full effect.
Yeah.
It's definitely, as April puts it, hippie magic.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means. But
it sounds good. I mean, I trust it.
I have a continued pursuit on this show to just try and find things that are too hippie for even April. Like, when I can find something so hippie that April's like, oh, God, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that's what I think of all your people. They're all that. Yes.
I like hippies. To stay open-minded to any type of magic.
I get it. It's that weird. I remember when the dude was explaining the alchemy stuff to me. He's like, well, I have to do everything that involves marijuana on a Monday because of the lunar cycle. That's marijuana's day is on Monday.
Who am I to say it
does? That was exactly what I said to him. I was like, you know what? If what you did made it come out this super awesome, I'm not going to say that you could have done it on Tuesday and it would have been the same. I'm not going to be that asshole.
I think the biggest thing, not to like get into a magic conversation, but it's a ritual, manipulation of the energy around you. And if you say that marijuana's day is Monday and that's what makes it better, it does.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. I mean, maybe there's nothing to prove it.
Is that astro projection thing?
No.
Is that what that is? If you believe it, it'll be?
No.
Monday, the moon.
Are you insane?
No. Yes, I am.
I mean, is a thing in that realm, but it's not.
Okay, I was just making. I'm asking. I don't know. I admit openly, like, I am the I'm the layman to most of the magic stuff. I'm a realist.
But you're a junior magician, right?
You know, listen. My membership to the Magic Castle has nothing to do. That is prestidigitation. That is completely separate of your hippie magic.
When it comes down to anything that you put in your body to make yourself feel better, if you add a ritual to it to make it even more powerful, it just simply is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I definitely understand that. If something... That's that whole there's a recipe site that Mitch, my roommate, has pulled up many a times. That it's one of those what's the word I'm looking for, the people with the caveman diet, one of those
paleo,
and the last ingredient on every recipe on this website is a cup of love. I'm like, It almost makes like I don't. How dare you? I put love in everything that I cook. How dare you assume that like you need to tell me to like love the food that I'm cooking?
It's just like it's a conscious thing that when you think about it, you do it, and then it just.
It almost makes me resent the food as I'm cooking it. Being told I have to. Don't tell me I have to love. Don't tell me I have to love this. I'll love it because I want to love it. Love has to be given freely.
You're super weird, gross, cynical. We get it. It works for you.
It does. Yeah, you're a happy cynic.
You guys have a good balance.
So getting on to our subject. So the Fourier review, I know it's been a while since the experiment took place. And also we did have – we're not going to oust who wrote in that we finally had someone write in about taking us up on our not-so-orgasmically charged – woman testing for you. We're not going to ask who you are. We're going to work on getting back to you so that we can work out how to get it to you. But for someone who is more sexually experienced, tell us about what the experience was like.
Okay. Well, everybody who was
this was a special place. You used it, right?
Wait, what do you mean? My vagina is a very special
place. I thought this was a back door.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All of it. Okay. Well, that's what I'm gonna get into, because even though y'all
we're gonna take this step by step, April, chill the fuck out. God, just jumping right to the good stuff. Like, just start with dessert.
Here's what I'll tell you. I know I was specifically told that this product is not intended for men necessarily. It wasn't against men, but that it was not made to do anything particular to men. But the person I engaged with wanted to be part of the process, you know, and so rubbed it all over his genitals and anal areas. And that's what I ended up doing. We, like, the amount that was in there, we killed it.
Yeah.
We actually, like, it's funny that we were talking about ritual, because we treated it, like, really reverently. Like, we didn't just, like, slap it on there and start banging. Like, I applied it to my areas.
To your special areas.
And we... It was kind of like really sweet. We kind of like laid together for a moment. It was candles. Like we did it proper, like to really get the full experience, and sort of held each other for a second. And then I did start to feel a little tingly, a little warm, and definitely very lubricated, very, you know, wet. Like I could sense it was like starting to, no stimulation occurred, and I was beginning to produce my own fluids in conjunction with the lube. And then we just sort of went for it, because like I was like, I feel a tiny something. Let's go.
I feel it. Let's go.
Now, I guess part of this experiment on my part is just that I don't require anything additional. So there was never like a, this is going to work for me. It was what is it? What will it enhance?
Exactly.
Because I'm already sort of just there. I get very wet when I'm aroused, and this created, I would say, 2.5 times more lubrication, so it was extremely easy to just go right into anal and just never really have to worry about any sort of irritation or pinching or pulling or anything like that. So that was the thing that I think I took away from it the most. So
as a lube, so minus the stimulation and anything like that, as a lube, it was a lube that made you provide your own lube especially?
Yeah. It could be easily marketed as just a – because it has THC in it or whatever the exact compound is – it can also just provide a superior lubricated experience. So, to the more sensitive, likely it has more effect. But even for the most sensitive, it still has way more benefits than just your average lube.
But no Tyson punch to the vagina, as we've had reported once before.
No more than.
See, you've described yourself as someone who doesn't have a hard time achieving.
I'm not exaggerating when I say that I can cross my legs hard enough and make myself come. A female orgasm has very little to do with anatomy and much more to do with the fact that I am totally comfortable coming. A girl can think that she's comfortable coming, but unless you're coming like I come, you're not, and there's nothing wrong with you, you just haven't gotten there yet for whatever reason. But I wish that sexually enhancing products for women should be more focused on their brains than their bodies. Yeah. Which is like a creepy feminist type of thing to say. I never speak like that. But I really believe that it's not – our anatomies are all meant – we have a clitoris and the ability to orgasm, evolution, blah, blah, whatever. It's all – everybody has it there unless you have some sort of actual – you know, you've had like female circumcision or whatever. And so it comes down to teaching women – to within themselves and their partners to be like, it is awesome if you come. And if you come ugly, if you come weird, it doesn't, because like some, I mean, I really think that people are like, oh, I must look weird. And, you know, if I really let go, I know that I look really like a spaz. And they just, for whatever reason, they can't get there, but they should, because.
Well, I've certainly heard that argument a lot before. I remember we talked one time about a pill that was being developed was supposed to try and help women's orgasms. Yeah. And that was kind of the gist of what they were saying too, is a lot of times it's more about the stress of a woman in her own head being like, oh, I can't come. I'm not so, oh, it'll look weird. It'll this, it'll that.
I do have a quick fix though.
What's that?
Wear socks.
What?
When you're a woman, don't ever let yourself get fucked with cold feet. If you have literal cold feet, you won't come.
What?
I'm not even making this up.
I believe you.
Temperature regulation in women is vital to their orgasm. So if she's cold, it's unlikely that she'll come. And you as a man are probably very hot. You've pushed all the covers off. You're probably, everybody's totally naked.
You know, I'm sweaty like a motherfucker.
And she doesn't want to just have on socks because that's fucking weird. So she doesn't say anything. And she can't get there because her fucking feet are cold and she's thinking about it. How many times does a woman tell you that she's cold? Do you think she's not cold when you're fucking her? It doesn't just change. So
I'd like to believe I'm keeping, you know, the movement and that we're getting warm. I'd like to, you know.
You ever played
a sport in the rain? You get warm, you know.
I have literally been like about to fuck, like we're right there. And I'll stop and be like, let me put on socks. Because I just know, because it's been cold lately in LA.
Yeah, it has.
And I'm like, I just know I will be more able to get there. I don't know. Anyways, off topic. But I recommend the product, no matter who you are, because even who I am, it created a better experience.
Well, that I remember last time.
And I totally support anything with weed in it.
So. I remember last time you were here, you said that sometimes smoking a lot of weed would dry it up. Would make it drier experience.
Yeah,
I didn't mean dry it up. I meant dry it up, you know.
Clam. No, no, that actually I think would be another side to it, because if you're a pot smoker, it doesn't matter how wet you are. Sometimes if it's real good weed, your mouth gets dry.
You get dry mouths.
Various mouths, and so it could even be spun. I just feel like it is not a unitool. It has many purposes, and that's the thing I look for in a product when I spend money on.
Now, question, did you guys was there any oral performed while the lubricant was on?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did that provide it? Because they said that because it's food grade, like, you'll get a little high if you ingest some.
The gentleman that I perform these acts with did feel – he is not a pot smoker by any means. And he said that he did feel different.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you say
something about emotional too?
Yeah, there was can I talk about like for real drugs?
Yeah, for real. Okay. Go for real.
Yeah.
We are marked explicit on iTunes.
There was a – much more than any other sensation, there was an ecstasy-like effect. He said that he felt just very relaxed and sensual, and, you know, that could have been the effect of that way of consuming marijuana on a person who never smokes weed. And because we were having, like, this shared experience,
he doesn't smoke weed.
Not at all.
Oh, so he was feeling it from the oral and from the
bottom.
Yeah, because
it did go on his piney,
which
is, as we all know, a way to administer things quickly.
Yeah, no, there's open blood vessels in there, so
I think that I just had a unique experience, but I mean, how cool is that even somebody who doesn't require anything like that at all, I got to have a
Yeah, that was my biggest worry, was that you'd come back and be like, yeah, it was a loop. Like, we lubed up and we had a good, like.
No, it was significantly more than that. I didn't have the, I don't even know what that would be.
Yeah, what that know, different, like, mind-blowing, so, like, that was.
But well, if but it's that's done a, that to even one person, awesome.
So, here's the nerdy part to it. THC is bioidentical hormone to progesterone. So that's so it actually really does help women. It and by put like yeah. instead of a steroidal hormone hormone cream or something, progesterone, having to take it synthetically.
But so that would also make sense why he had feelings that were very loving yeah. and more like emotional. That mm-hmm. He's a very yeah. he has a lot. He's not like, you know, a caveman. So but just it, he said he definitely felt like more just. Loving.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, that's. So, I mean, that is. That was the big thing.
The
we were looking
for the women so that they're able to produce more
and get
you
there.
Know, and get there.
Yeah.
That was always my big question with this product, that I've wanted to product test it like this for so long. Is going. I just want to know if it's different.
Yeah.
Because everyone's used lube before. We've all been like, yeah, it's lube. You know, mm-hmm. it's wonderful. Well, it's great. I wanted to know, is this one that actually makes the experience different? For different people, it could be different results, as long as we're having different from the huge.
And not bad.
Yeah,
and not
bad. And I did like... I felt that it never quite... okay, so like a silicone lube will... always leave you with kind of a greasy feeling. It never really comes away, and so that's why it's so good for anal, that type of thing. But it has to be washed off. Mm-hmm. And then water-based lubes are terrible because they're sticky, mm-hmm. and they just get sticky so fast. This I felt eventually
and
just rubbed
cold.
In. It just eventually rubbed in.
Well, yeah, it's mostly coconut
but
oil.
But it took a
it's
long
MCT
time.
Oil.
But there was no... I didn't feel the need to, like, oh my god, we got to get in the shower and wash all this shit off. Like,
oh, okay.
It fully absorbs. That was a very nice end result.
Okay, that's
there's
another good
better
thing.
Better than just like sliding into like Odin's sleep after like a good sesh.
Yeah, no, that's one of the best. That's
so jarring to get. I get up and I do the power pee. But I don't want to get in the fucking shower and like you just want to pass out. I'm very dude like in that manner. So that was nice that I felt clean. I felt moisturized.
That's actually a very, because I've known a few people. One of my really good buddies, Jonathan, who's a Cuban fella, he regularly just will lather himself up at night with coconut oil.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, it's great for the skin. Which this is basically what that is.
And oil absorbs through your skin, all the way into your organs, down to your bones.
Yeah.
Ah, that one I didn't know.
I've been doing a lot, but I'm starting.
Because
a soap company, and I've been reading a lot about it.
Ooh, soap
and
company.
Oil. Well, let's not talk about it. It's not even off the ground. But yeah, that's the best way to. And I recently made, just by adding two essential oils and a little bit of olive oil, I made like a thing to rub on the chest to help asthma, and it
absolutely
works.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you're not gonna like cure yourself, but you absolutely don't have to take nearly as much OTC medication.
Absolutely, that's
other.
What I
and it's about.
I don't like
starting to get real
drugs.
Hippie. Well, I mean, listen, hippie. I will take ibuprofen.
Oh yeah,
until the you know whatever. But the anytime I can put something that's natural, not for any other fucking reason, but because I am also natural. Mm-hmm. I am not a chemically processed thing. So, yeah.
Well, that's very true.
In Ayurveda, they would do a full 8 ounces of oil during a massage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'll add herbs and... You
know, I've usually tried to make a point of like, I will...
Because your body will.
I will avoid taking pills. As much of a non-hippie as I am, I still avoid taking pills almost until it's a necessity. Even like pain, especially like I had a brush with pain pills when I was younger, when I messed my knees up. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I went in for a refill, like, do you want a refill? I was like, I screamed no before I could think about it.
No,
so I was like, no, I don't need it.
No. Well, and I mean, it's true. The pain medication situation it's just poison. It doesn't actually do anything. And it leaves you like a ruined person.
Well, we're going to get to that. But first, before we get into the pain scripts, because we are talking about that with Jim McMahon. First, from the people who brought Euphoria, the lovely people at Euphoria, April discovered a brand new product for us in our pre-show. It is a
weed tampon.
A weed tampon.
Weed tampon.
You were so excited about this.
Yeah, I jumped on your.
So what's your it? Intro. What is it? Just is it? I'm. Is it? Does it have? Helping? What is it? What is it? Is it just like a cotton ball soaked in cannabis oil? Like what is it?
Contains 60 milligrams of THC and 10 milligrams of CBD, and you just plug that shit up. I mean.
Is it to help with cramps, I'm guessing?
Absolutely.
These are the suppositories or an actual tampon?
No, it's a tampon.
So for use when you're on
a tampon is just a mere whole choice away from being a suppository, I feel like.
I mean,
no, because there's actual vaginal suppositories.
It doesn't dissolve, so it's...
So it's meant to be used while you're on your period. It has the same absorbency factors and...
It's intended for... Your menstrual cycle. That's what it's for. But with the same idea where Foria or, you know, THC will help reduce, you know, painful sex or, you know,
so it replaces Pamphrin.
Yeah.
Well, they said it's $11 a tampon. So this is not what you would be using every single time. But this is something where if you're like, oh my God,
the very beginning,
the worst of the cramps.
Oh, yeah.
If you're like, all right,
day one or day two is usually all like, I'm
that's
in
actually
pain
like
for.
A wonderful option.
Yeah,
I would really like to not overdose myself on, you know,
ibuprofen. Yeah,
well, it's also going right to where you need it. So
yeah.
If you're having cramps down there and you're putting the medicine down
that's the thing. When you take an ibuprofen and you take
an ideal delivery,
Midol's a little bit more targeted, but it's still just mostly ibuprofen. It's kind of going through your whole bloodstream. I would imagine with this, it's going right to what's hurting you.
The problem is that all Midol is a Tylenol and caffeine to cause diuretic.
Yeah.
That's all any of those things are. You could just take no dose.
Listen, I remember that happened because I forgot some ibuprofen before a game, and we had a female coach on our rugby team, and I tweaked my knee, and she gave me 3 Midol. I was like, "What?" And she's like, "It's just ibuprofen and caffeine. You'll be up for the second half." Yeah. I had a great second half, and then my team called me Midolberg for the rest of my life.
That's
a real true story. Amongst the LA Rebellion, I am known as either Midol or Midolberg. So, yeah.
I'm glad you tell me that because I will definitely bring that
You will
back.
Never call me that again. I will. No. Guy, you shouldn't have said anything. But, yeah, that's that's a real. But, yeah, I've heard because.
Especially if you're crying.
I've told stories before. My girlfriend has had some very, very bad cramps in her life.
Yeah.
And she gets it ridiculously bad.
PCOS.
Yeah, and so the only thing
it would be an amazing product.
Yeah, the only thing that normally we can do is I get a ridiculously high CBD strain. They have like a 24-1 over at Perennial that I'll get for her, and I'll load a bowl of that, and usually that will diminish the cramping at least a little bit and let her get to sleep.
How did that honey work out for you? Did you ever try it?
Well, you know, I did, and it was – I was in so much pain at that time going through what I was going... Hello. Going through what I was going through.
He thinks it's a tennis ball.
Oh, no. it was... I honestly was eating so many different types of pain
medication.
You don't
know what,
I didn't know. But it was I love the way it made it taste. when I hurt my knee initially, I bought those little Chiba chews that are just the CBD. And I loved what they did for the nausea that I was having.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen – I mean, a lot of people don't equate that fact that you go, you can take CBD and it won't affect you at all. I've tried to explain that to a lot of people.
That
they go,
if you have a super low – I mean, you can have an effect, but you should not – you could also get an ulcer from ibuprofen. I mean, it's that type of thing. Like, there's a risk with every breath you take.
Well, yeah, if you take it every day.
Yeah.
I'm wondering – at $11 a tampon, though, that is quite – that's quite pricey. That's like you could afford two. It makes it a luxury item, but it also makes it like for $22 a month, you've got, you know, two for the worst 2 days of it.
Yeah, and I mean the thing is tampons aren't cheap. The even regular old tampons, it's not.
How expensive are tampons now? I've been lucky.
If
Sydney usually gets them for me.
Kind.
Well, yeah, of course like you do, hippie.
But even, yeah. I mean, even like Kotex, you know, the or like Target brand or whatever is still, you're looking at, I don't know, I guess, I can't even remember. They cost what they cost because you have to have them.
Yeah, it's always what I felt about it. It's like, I would imagine it's like $20 for one of those boxes. It's usually about...
Well, I use OB, which is like one of the most expensive brands. So it's like usually $14 a month, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Really the most expensive. So it's not that much, but you just have to buy them.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I would imagine most women would not be able to tell me what a box of tampons costs. Because
you just buy them.
I don't think
buy
them. About it.
It's just there. It's like, yeah, I need them. Yeah, mm-hmm. Gotta have them.
It doesn't matter what they cost.
Yeah.
It can't be... Yeah, it's they just... They could be $400 fucking dollars. And
you're like, I'm not using pads. That's not happening. Oh, I'm not using pads.
No, I'm not 11. I hate that there's like period shaming, but if I go into a girl's room, like a grown woman, and she has pads, I'm like, what is happening? Like, you have really religious parents or something. My grandmother told me when I was a little girl that only sluts use tampons. She's
oh, jeez.
I use both. Fuck. Is that, what is that say?
I don't know. I just they gross me the fuck out. Like, it's the same reason I want to so badly transition to the cup thingy.
Oh no, it's so gross. But I really do support the whole like not contributing to more trash and all that stuff. But it is just
not to be vulgar, but I just
how do you empty out your cup?
I had this weird like moment as I was like leaving the bathroom of like, oh my god. How many tampons have I produced? It's so terrible. And then you think about every other woman in the world, and it really makes
trash
you. And it really makes you want to use that cup thing. But it just sounds like a fucking. It sounds like you have to clean the toilet every like three times a day.
You have to clean. There is a great.
It's like BuzzFeed
where they have different girls use it, and it's like. It goes up there and it like suck, you know, and some people they just leak the entire time and some people are like, that's great. I think that's for me.
Grossing everybody out. We should probably.
How do you, but this is
a real conversation.
If you're at a festival, how do you fucking clean it out?
It's just that it's the exact same scenario. I have a friend who just had a baby like 18 months ago and she decided I'm using washable things, diapers. And she said the hassle was so terrible that she decided, like, every day at the end of the day, I'm not doing this, I'm buying disposable. But then she stuck with it, and she felt so much better. So, like, I get the point, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I have been doing this for, you know, 25 years.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to retrain myself.
Not the most forget about it route for, you know, so I don't know. Anyways.
I guess the big question at the end of all of this is, if you were having a bad month of cramps, is this a product that you would test out?
Absolutely.
As an alternative.
I'd be very curious because I have been having weird cramps on the first few days. Like mm-hmm. As I get older, it gets kind of worse. And it would be nice to not feel like, oh my God, I'm dying. I can't go to Target.
All right.
Because I had that feeling.
And the other reason, I guess, at $11, it's like you go, you wouldn't use it every time because once you use one, it's going to stay in your blood. Not obviously you take them out because you don't want the toxic shock, but that's right. I know what toxic shock syndrome is.
Yeah, okay.
But the medication that was in it, that stays in you, I would guess, for another 8 hours.
Probably, most likely. So if it's something that I could easily obtain, like if they were selling it at the dope shops in L.A., like – I'd be like, yeah, give me a box of that for next month.
It's available in Colorado and California.
There we go.
Well, what do you know? What do you know? The people at Foria, dude, they are the fucking bomb. I love these people.
And we are not sponsored by them.
Hopefully. I don't know how we're not sponsored. Future. We need to get in touch with them.
I'm going
to
go say hi.
When you're at the Cannabis Cup, you're going to have to go over to the Foria booth and tell them how much we're being a shill for their corporate monstrosity. Just, you know. Ask them if they'd be willing to, you know, let us be a formal corporate shill for them. Because I would happily shill for those people.
Oh, yeah.
Just all the free samples.
I think if you say shill one more time, it's never going to happen.
So. Is that how it works? You can't say it. It's like, don't tell them what you're doing, God damn it. Oh, man. All right. So moving on to something that we were touching on a little bit earlier. But ex-Bear, Jim McMahon, has claimed that he used medical marijuana to get himself off of painkillers that he became addicted to being a professional football player. He said at the worst of it, he was taking, I believe it was 100 Percocet a month, which I've gotten a prescription for 90 before, and that was supposed to last me, I think, 90 days. So that's a lot of Percocet.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking earlier about what, you know, ibuprofen can do to your liver long term and what all these drugs do to your system long term. And I've many times gone back and forth about marijuana being used in sports, but reading this article is another one that makes me go, you know what, for the minimal performance enhancing abilities in it, this is a lot better than Vicodin. This is a lot better than Percocet. This is a lot better than Norcos. This is a lot better than all that shit.
Well, opiate addiction, there's just it never goes anywhere good. It's a bummer, like all the way around.
Yeah.
And there's certain types of pain that can only really be managed with opiates. But wouldn't it be great if we were exploring all of the ways to treat pain without without using it? Because it, you know, marijuana isn't addicting. And it doesn't, you know, thus far have any provable negative effects. But look at what happens to you when you become – I mean, if you were taking marijuana for your pain and then one day you didn't have your marijuana for your pain, you would just be a little uncomfortable. But if you are addicted to opiate pain medication and you don't have access to your medication, it is a shit show.
Yeah.
On top of the pain you already have.
Have any of you seen the new documentary that was on HBO recently?
Cape Cod?
About Cape Cod and all the heroin usage going on there. Well, I know you're from that area. But what was the craziest thing about that was them talking about they went that 90% of these addictions started with pain pills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that got to the point where they're like, well, rather than $20 for two Vicodin, it was like a $7 bag of heroin that got you high like three or four times. Mm-hmm. So
okay, I don't know where they're selling heroin that cheap, but but
well, that's we've even talked about it on here with that exact number. A lot of it comes from Mexico.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing is because of all this opium addiction and because of this is especially because of the fact that they no longer can plant marijuana because they can't sell it here. A lot of those farmers down in Mexico who were farming marijuana just switched to poppies because at least that's – to them they go, it's still illegal, so I can there's still a market for it. There's no market for something that's legal for them.
Absolutely. And I mean, can you imagine if somebody was like, here's some weed I got from Mexico. You'd be like, I'm sorry.
That's gross. I won't be smoking that.
I don't even – it'll give me a headache. But I mean, they have – there has been – I don't know how provable or where it is written, but they are showing that the legalization of recreational marijuana is cutting down on opiate-related deaths.
Woo!
Yep, and we also talked about the fact that it's driving Mexican pot farmers broke, which I also don't necessarily have a huge problem with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, listen, opiate addiction being down is – that's great news.
Yeah.
I mean, that's treating pain with opiates in the first place –
is counterproductive.
Because your body wants more of a drug when you give it a drug. You have receptor sites for that drug instead of receptor sites for your body's natural drugs that your brain produces. So you have to your body will tell you you're having these pains even if the pain is actually a lot better because it wants the drug. So instead of going right for opiates, I need to change pain management and do more holistic stuff. I know I'm a hippie. Fuck you.
But,
it's okay. But when I hear about these guys.
I'm reading about him right here. He's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, he's 56, early onset dementia, severe headaches, depression, memory loss, vision, and speech problems. He also had a broken neck. So he had to be all hopped up. And he's part of the whole train that's suing the NFL for not handling concussions. He's fucked up. I mean, he rightfully needed to be on lots of meds. And it's amazing that someone, you know, of his stature could come out and say stuff like this because...
No, I mean...
You know, we had the Jimmy Carter one that was bullshit.
Players in his time, it's like... I remember when Wayne Krabet's career ended when he had his ninth concussion in 8 years. And when I saw him walking this year to get inducted in the Ring of Honor, I almost cried a little bit because I was just so happy that he could walk. Because I hadn't seen him in 10 years. And I was like, I thought he was in a wheelchair.
The thing is that there's certain types of pain that thus far have not, they've not been able to make marijuana effective. I last year was dealing with really significant nerve pain, and I would have wanted and hoped that I could use marijuana for that, but it doesn't touch it. But the funny thing is that opiates don't touch nerve pain either. The only thing you can do is take medications that are made specifically for neurological disorders like Neurontin. And so, but what I want is no more of this just like, oh, you have a pain? Here's some Vicodin. Like, let's,
yeah,
let's actually explore pain management and help people.
Yeah, well, that's – there was –
because living with pain, I had just this little chunk of time where last year with an illness that I just was in so much pain every single day. And, yeah, you just have to keep living. Like, you can't stop living, but your quality of life is so low that you just get to the point where you're like, well, if I can just not feel pain.
Well, we all said it before. It was that thing where you go – when you go to the doctor and the doctor just seems so happy to give you – a prescription for painkillers, and it's on me as the patient to say, no, I think I'm done with them. Because the doctor, if I'm saying I'm in pain, he'll give me pain pills.
If you don't have a history with drug addiction.
If I don't have a history with drug addiction.
If you have a history of drug addiction, they just say, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
So, is I mean, that's what we do with people who have pain. Regardless if that pain is self-created or not, everyone deserves to not
But this is what pain. They're doing with Obamacare right now is you're when you go in to see your regular doctor, they prescribe you a slew of drugs first before they have to do that before they can refer you to a specialist. So they're just like, here, I just give you a list of drugs, you go get that, see if one of those works, and then I can submit to the insurance to get coverage for you to go to a specialist. Like, so their first thing is to make
it's quite literally the definition of practicing medicine. They're just poking in the dark and going, well, if we might accidentally fix what's wrong with you with one of these litany of pills, and if we don't, well, then I can send you to a specialist who can, you know, probably target something a little bit more specific.
I think we just got so, like, when antibiotics came on the market, we, and as a culture, we went, oh my God, we can just like use science to create chemical compounds that will fight these various headaches and cramps and cancer and whatever it is that you have, and we'll just feed these people pills in it, and then it'll go away for a little while, and then we can make a new pill. And it was just evil upon evil upon evil. Like, we can make so much money, and then we can make a pill for everything and tell everybody that
That's the old Chris Rock saying. It's like there's no money in a cure.
Yeah.
There's money in treatment. That's where the money – I mean, that's
– so until we kill that beast, it's just going to be a small band of us all going, hey, there's other options.
Well, but that is, I feel like, why – if nothing – a big thing about that I do appreciate now is that real news carriers – ESPN ran this story about Jim McMahon talking about marijuana. And this is a news agency that not 6 years ago, I've talked many times about the rant they let Bill Romanowski go on spouting facts from the 1950s about marijuana, talking about it being 80 times more carcinogenic than tobacco. I'm like, we disproved that in the 70s. And so the fact that in just these five short years, we've gone from people like ESPN and Disney having reefer madness to actually being willing to publish a story saying, here's a dude who said marijuana might save his life, or at least is currently saving his quality of life. Because on top of that litany of problems he was having, those headaches, all of that, I got to imagine that those Percocet were starting to cause liver damage.
And opiate psychosis.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I've heard the insomnia that it can cause you is just ridiculous as well. I mean,
it can literally make you go, like, be able to no longer be rational. You have like hair triggered responses, and it's bad news all the way around. I want it to be there for the people who have the type of pain that it's like they just deserve it. They deserve to have, you know, morphine.
Yeah.
But if there are any other options, I just want them, why can't they be equally explored?
Yeah.
And why should a sports player or an actor or this, that, or the other, there should be no stigma. It's clearly harmless, if not effective.
Well, this is certainly starting to become more and more of a trend that we're seeing. This is the second week in a row that we've had a story about an ex-athlete who's saying, I've turned to marijuana as the treatment for the injuries caused by my years as a professional athlete.
Yeah.
And
whether
that should be the treatment or not while they're competing, I think that's still a debate left to be had. But once they have retired, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that this is a much better option.
They did studies in Israel saying that CBD helps heal broken bones and ligaments and just stronger than they were before. I mean, they're
damn right, my stone bones are strong.
That's what I'm saying. It should be used first, not, you know, as I mean, I guess when your pain's so strong that, yeah, people do deserve
shit. You know, the type of cancers, brain cancer, lung cancer, these are pains that we as regular people can never even wrap our minds around.
No, yeah.
And at that point, when it's just like, look, I just would like to have some semblance of enjoying life before I die. But that's not the type of pain that most people are dealing with. And so,
should be try this and this before we give you pills,
before we ruin your life, basically, and make you completely dependent on something that we restrict your ability to get.
I've had prescriptions for pills and I just don't, I will not take them. I'm completely allergic to it and I vomit them right back up.
But this is the tough question that it always comes down to. It's like listen, if I was, God forbid, diagnosed with cancer next week, I would take chemo and treat my nausea with cannabis. I would not be thinking that I could just take cannabis to cure my cancer.
Mm, interesting.
So
I would try every alternative thing before I went to chemo. Chemo is poison.
I know it's poison, but that's that whole thing. That's that weird thing.
When you're faced with that
life and death situation. Well, I agree with you completely. It's a terrible, awful situation to put yourself in. When you're in that life and death choice, I feel like most people will lean towards science instead of holistic. I think that's what most people's natural instinct will run towards.
I don't think you're wrong. I would do.
Yeah, exactly. If your body is, you know, your biochemistry comes from what you put into your body. So you should address what your lifestyle, what you're eating and, you know, smoking or whatever.
Why are you looking at me when you say that, April? Why are you looking at me?
I did. I turned and looked at her too, didn't I?
No, you gave her a glance and then you turned back and looked at me again. I saw that. I know I eat like shit. I'm aware.
But I think for me,
feels guilty about something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I just want an equal opportunity for however anybody wants to treat whatever they are going through, because we are individuals in as much as each brain develops its own neuropathways. I mean, I'm real high, so I don't know what I'm saying.
So you both would explore as much holistic medicine as you could until it was a non-option.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, all right. Hey,
There's been enough proof to see that could be
a correct way to go too.
I don't want to sound crass, but
crass it up.
Even if you use traditional cancer treatments like chemo and radiation, you don't come through that unscathed.
No.
It affects your skin, drastically affects the way you look, even long term, and your ability to fight off future infections. Mm-hmm. It's, to me, I believe it should be the last, I think it should be available because it obviously cures cancer from time to time. So please, if that's what is required, save yourself.
Yeah.
But I just wish that there was, it's just too down, it's so narrow. There's so many other options. And if we're supposed to be advanced as a country, why are we not sitting down with the patients and saying, here are your options. They are many.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people when they go in for this chemo, it's like the stigma is always there. They go, oh, yeah, I've heard it's poison. I've heard this, that, that. It's like a lot of people don't know what chemo is. They don't understand. It's like, no, it's going in and killing the cells in your body.
Every cell.
Every cell that it touches, that's what it's designed. Now, killing cancer cells too, but also killing good healthy cells. I don't feel like a lot of people understand what chemo – and it's a nasty, nasty drug. But that's that weird thing that when we get to these people who – get to these issues where they where they want to use marijuana as a treatment, that's where I go, man, life and death. I'd have a hard time only using marijuana. That would scare me a lot if I was relying only
well,
on that.
But you're not, because you can have it. You can have chemo, but why not? Sorry.
I've seen people using both, but then, you know, and then they're doing well because of it. But then, you know, you don't really know which one's working, so they keep doing both.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would be like give something a chance first, and if you saw a difference, then sure.
Oh, see, I'm that person. I'm do everything that you can all at once, and who cares what worked as long as it works. I guess that's, you know, that's always been my –
it's totally valid. It's just yeah. I guess I'm a lot more calm about I like to wait and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're certainly a methodical chooser. I've definitely noticed you're certainly like, no. I know what the options are. I'm just, you know, we're going to see what happens. What happens, happens.
Because I feel like it always sort of works out. But if I go banging into something, it tends to get all mucked up. But if I just sort of like wait and see type of thing, and if you could be curing your cancer and getting high and like,
yeah, that's definitely – you'd rather be high during that time. It would definitely be a lot better.
And that's what confuses me about the people that want to participate, but then they don't want to do it as directed. Like, you know, you're supposed to take – get up to a gram a day of oil, but people don't want to take oil during the day because they don't want to be too fucked up to do anything. But
that, you were going to be vomiting and shitting. Your hair was going to be falling out while you're taking chemo.
Exactly.
So
but
you're just going to be a little sleepy.
Yeah.
Take it how you're supposed to.
You're gonna have mad munchies.
And I try to explain, like, you have to build up your tolerance to take a gram a day. You're not gonna start with the gram a day. So each day you're gonna feel fucked up, and each day you'll be able to take a little bit more, and then maybe in a month you'll be able to handle a gram a day or something. You know.
That was the conversation I had to have with my coach when he treated a benign spinal tumor with Rick Simpson oil, and it shrunk the tumor, and he got movement in his face back, and he stopped having using. He used to have to take prostate medication; didn't have to take anymore. I have witnessed the majesty of it, but that was a big conversation I had with him, because this was a dude who used to be a professional rugby player, treated his body like a temple, barely drank, never smoked, and he was like, "Oh, I take a little bit, and I get the spins. I don't know if I can keep doing it. I'm just going to do a little bit of it." And I had to tell him, like, "Dude, there's nothing you can do about these spins because you have no tolerance to this, and you're taking the most concentrated oil you can take in Rick Simpson oil. So you just got to keep doing it. Do it at night so that at least you can go to sleep. And you're going to have to work yourself up. I told him, like, there's going to be a point where you're going to have to start doing it during the day if you want to cure yourself.
Yeah. Well, hypothetically.
But I mean, so I've witnessed it. I'm saying in, well, I would do something contrary to it. I've witnessed this working. It still scares me. That's that terrifying life and death stuff that you think of. It's like, that still scares me to only rely on the hippie magic that April O'Connor swears by. Well, we're moving on to our last subject for the day. So a Native American church in Utah had their weed seized by the post office that now they're suing because it was for – I feel like this is like the Coptic church all over again. Do you remember the Coptic church? Am I the only one who remembers the Coptic church?
I don't.
They were a church who was basically in charge of smuggling all of the weed into the U.S. during the 70s and 80s, I believe it was. And they did it under the guise of this church that they called the Coptic church. And they claimed that they were using marijuana for ceremonial purposes and under the Freedom of Religious Act that they should be allowed to. They had a bunch of property down in Jamaica, which is where they would grow, and then they would fly it on a small plane up into Miami and then distribute it to all their churches in America. That got busted up. The guy who ran it was eventually put in jail.
Well, mostly because they were giving weed to like 6-year-olds. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm like, I want a kid to be old enough to choose. Understand. Yeah. Well, hopefully now they can read J.R. Fox's book and they can understand weed a lot better. But giving a little plug. Give a little plug.
The gloops in the special plant.
We had a children's author on who wrote a really awesome kids book about how that so that parents with children can explain marijuana to their kids.
Oh, I love that.
This is why people use it. This is what it is. This is, you know, this is very, very, very cool.
I actually got one on Amazon.
Oh, did you get one?
I got one.
Yeah, the gloops and the special plant. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Illustrated it too.
So. There you go. The plant can be used to make many things. It makes clothes like Molly's dress. It can make paper for Molly to color on. So it's telling you all the uses and all that fun stuff. And but yeah. This doesn't seem like that at first glance, though. It's a Native American church. They've been established, obviously, a lot longer than any of us have been in this country. This is one of those weird things where I don't know why the post office stuck their nose in, because we as Americans have been very happy to just let Native Americans do whatever the fuck they want, because, let's face it, they got a bum deal in a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize. Have you ever been to an Indian casino?
Yes.
I didn't realize this until like 5 years ago, that they don't pay any taxes for any of the money that they make in that casino. I didn't know that.
It's kind of like a different country.
Yeah.
Basically, when you're on a reservation. I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and there was like a line that ran down the city that if you were on this side, it was Phoenix, but if you were on that side, it was the res, and you didn't go over there because you just kept your fucking business out of their business. That was at least what we
assumed. Just a known thing that they didn't, you know?
What we assumed as white people that they wanted, because there was not any sort of like, let's intermingle. It was just, I don't know. This is going to
They stayed on the reservation and didn't leave the reservation.
I don't want to say too many words because I'm going to end up sounding like an asshole without meaning to. What I'm thinking is, look, if it's a Native American church and that's part of their ritual, are other churches allowed to bypass the laws of not shipping illegal drugs across states? I mean, is there a precedent for that?
Yeah, there actually is. I talked about it in the pre-show. There's a drug that's made from, I want to say cactus, ayahuasca. That is it's a hallucinogen.
Yeah.
It makes you puke a lot as well. I think it's like called the purge or something like that. But shamans are allowed to distribute it for ceremonial purposes. I cannot go to a store and buy ayahuasca.
Okay, but are they allowed to ship it across the country in the USPS mail?
From a US territory to a US territory, yes.
Okay, well, then if that's the case, then it sounds like the post office was in the wrong.
Yeah. Well,
the post office has been doing some crazy shit lately, too.
But I would, too, if I was a horribly failing business.
Well, they stopped shipping like anything with ads for cannabis. Hmm. So it started in Oregon, and then now even like High Times. High Times has been around for 40 years.
So you can't get a subscription to High Times anymore?
I don't know if that's entirely affected yet, but I know for sure they can't. You can't.
Yeah, the post office doesn't want to deliver them anymore.
Anything with ads for cannabis in it.
Yeah.
So they can't. It doesn't mean High Times goes away. It means High Times can't take ad revenue for
post office. Should be happy for any business they get.
I couldn't agree more.
And that they should shut their damn mouths because we do not need them.
No, anymore. I mean, that's a market that has been dying to privatize for a long, 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 long time.
I mean, it just, I don't think that we should just piss all over the way things used to be. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation about taxis versus Ubers.
But they're not delivering it on horseback anymore. This isn't the Pony Express.
The mail, the USPS mail simply has – there's no reason.
Yeah. I mean, everything there's parts of me that could disagree with you, but most of me agrees with you.
Places I will not shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just put it right into the trash. Like, I'm right, and then I get like a utility bill.
Yeah.
Which maybe if you clicked one box, you could get
emailed to
you. And I think that what they should have done was somehow made themselves an online thing and created some cool, groovy new algorithm and changed with the times instead of just, no, we're going to just fucking stay and keep rising the
forever stamps. Stamps. Forever just, stamps.
Like all, and I'm like, and then they have the balls to to be like, oh, we're going to fuck your shit up, Native Americans. And
they're fucking with everybody.
I'm like, I'm just like, what are you thinking? Like, they.
It's a good point. I listen. I can. There's part of me that definitely falls on the side of fuck the post office. It's yeah. They're becoming a very useless entity. With that being said, we've reached the end of our time. This has been a fun episode. We finally got our Fourier review. Thank you so much, Sasha, for coming in. You got anything that anybody got promoting anything? I mean, you're not ready to promote your soap company yet. Oh, you're going to have to come back when you're ready to so we can hear all about it.
Twitter and Instagram.
It's all under Sasha Knox.
At Sasha Knox, S-A-S-H-A-K-N-O-X. Yes, that's right. I can spell things. I know, April, what you got coming on besides the bed? I know you're always going to the bed.
The bed, yep.
going to sleep.
I'm going to be at the High Times Cup.
Oh, that's right. High Times Cup this weekend, next weekend.
Yeah, and...
Yeah. Very fun, very fun. And myself, I will be up in Reno for Valentine's Day weekend for 6 shows, the 12th through the 14th. I'm actually bringing Sydney with me, so that's going to be a ball of a good time. We're going to
party
in the biggest little city in the world. Well, I needed someone to record me while I was on stage.
No, because you ditched her last year.
Yeah, I did. Well, thank you very much, Crab Diving Network. Thank you very much, Rafopoulos Studios, for having us in here. Thank you so much, Sasha Knox, for joining us. We love you. Thank you for your product review. We will see y'all next week.
Bye.